The first reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. It's on page 894 in your Bibles. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work on your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. The second gospel reading is in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 to 32, and that starts on page 755 in your Bibles. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. And later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." The word of God.
So I love it how all life's experiences can teach us important truths that often cause us, to give pause, to circle back around to something that we believe deeply and now are reconsidering, and then we move on, and then something else happens. You know, that image that is everywhere in culture of the spiral, I think, is the truest Christian symbol there can be, because isn't that really how we grow, closer and closer into the heart of God, learning new things as we go? I think maybe one of the most important lessons that I've learned while working at WISE, in addition to practical ways to be in advocacy with women, is this phrase that we use all the time, where we have gone from saying, but, when there's a conversation, to saying and. When one is having a political or philosophical or theological conversation, the temptation is often, right, to say, well, I get your point, but kind of like here in our story when Jesus taught earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, you have heard it said, you shall love yourself and then your neighbor and then your enemy. And then Jesus said, but I say to you, first love your enemies. In that context, it's appropriate because here's Jesus, the master teacher, right, giving a new moral teaching. It's not enemies after neighbors. It's, the reverse. And I got to say that in most cases, we're not Jesus. There's a whole lot of gray in our world around moral correctness, moral absolutes, and reflective people, which I believe Christians are called to be, are required to answer, for instance, well, you know, we've been taught to be responsible, to keep our side of the street clean, to care for one another, and so many traumatic events happen in the lives of some people that just keeping their heads above water is all the energy or foresight that they have. So maybe the kind of responsibility we want to see isn't even possible. To move from but, which suggests that my opinion and my understanding and my way to do things is right, to and. So here's my understanding. Ooh, and there's a lot going on in another person's life that might lead them to just a little different place. Both sides are true in a context. I do think this nuance where we as a human race need to begin to understand that we can hold two different thoughts at the same time and they both can be true is really important for us to forward some kind of civil discourse in our society. In our reading from Matthew's account this morning, our teacher, our Jesus, is confronted by religious authorities who were seeking for ways to shut him up and shut him down because, you know, the status quo was just fine, thank you. We don't like stirring the pot. Now, Jesus had already been at the temple, stirring the pot hard. I mean, he'd thrown over the tables, not only of the tax collectors, but of all the other folks selling pigeons for the sacrifices. I mean, Jesus just caused a stir, and then he raised his voice and shouted at them. So the authorities come to Jesus, and they think they're so slick. They've got the word, the question they're going to put to him, and he's going to answer them, by golly, who do you think you are, is what they say to him. The language in scripture is, by what authority are you doing these things? But really, who do you think you are? Now, King Herod has already managed to have John the Baptist beheaded in that horrible story. And so Jesus, in his clever little trickster way that he can sometimes have, knew exactly how to turn this around on those authorities. He had them. He said, all right, so John's baptism, was it of God or was that just a ritual that human beings put together? And so they confer with each other. Scripture says that they talk to one another, and they go, geez, Louise, if we say it's of God, then the question is, why didn't you get behind John? But if we say it was just an empty human ritual, we've got all these people who really believe John was a prophet, and boy, are they going to be mad at us. So they do what authorities often do. They prevaricated. They said, well, we don't know Jesus. So then Jesus tells them this story. And it says he told the story with in the hearing of all, which means there was a group around. And here's the deal with those two sons, right? For the son to refuse his father's request to go work in the vineyard would have been shaming for the whole family. The town would have been astir gossiping about, did you hear Abraham's kid refuse to go and work for him? And then something happened. Changed his mind and went to work. Did the right thing. While the other brother kept up all appearances and said, yes, Daddy, yes, sir, yes, Father. And apparently had no such intention whatsoever. So then when Jesus asks who did the will of the Father, it's kind of one of those, duh, it's very clear who did the will of the Father. And here's the point. Coming back around to the authorities questioning who did Jesus think he was, what Jesus is saying is, regardless if John's baptism was of God or a ritual that humans put together, he came among you in justice and speaking God's word, which is what prophet means, pointing the way to a new way of being in touch with the living God, and you refused to be moved, to consider him, to be taught by him. So tax collectors and prostitutes, collectively sinners, they believed. They learned. They followed. Just like the first son who reconsidered and did the right thing, you witnessed their change of heart, their change of living, and still you couldn't change your mind, you crusty old religious authorities. Boom! That's Jesus. So friends, on this World Communion Sunday, when truly we hold in our hearts this image of all God's people around the world, even in places that are devastated in the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico, you can be sure that people are gathering to break bread and drink the cup. On this Sunday, when we collect our neighbors in need offering, which goes to work toward creating systems of justice where there has been terrible oppression and wrongdoing, we are invited into a this and this community. A no becomes yes community. A self-reflective, all people are important community. A community that includes each of us, oh yes, with all of our foibles and hopes and gifts and dreams, and where the absolute goal has nothing to do with me and all to do with us. It is truly a new way of being in the world. What did Paul write to that early church? All of us, the curmudgeonly ones, the optimistic ones, the pessimistic ones, those with unquenchable spirit, those who are a little more reticent, the soft-spoken ones, and the big mouths, all of us are in this together. That's what gospel teaches us. And what did Paul write to that early church struggling to figure it out? How do we be for God in the world? Encouragement in spirit, consolation in love, sharing of the spirit, compassion, sympathy, having the same mind, having the same love, having one mind, no selfish ambition, but rather humility, looking always to the interest of the other with Jesus as our guide, our teacher, our example. And when we look at our guide, our teacher, and example, the bottom line is he humbled himself even unto the cross and death. So the real challenge of our gospel this week and every week is how much are we willing really to give it all away for the sake of all others in imitation of our Christ.